Amen. Thankful for those songs that take us back to Bethel. Amen. Remind us of where God found us, what He's done for us. Thank you so much for singing that song, ladies. That was a blessing. Thank you for the message this morning, Pastor David. That was a blessing. Amen. Thankful for Bethel, the house of God. Glad to be in the house of God tonight. Take your Bible, open, if you will, to the book of Luke, chapter 1, and then also the book of Acts, chapter 1. So if you have a bookmark or two, put them in those places. We'll reference them a couple of times tonight. Luke chapter number 1, and then also Acts chapter number 1. And then I want to have everyone that's 60 and older to stand. And I was going to let the church get a good look at how beautiful and young and energetic you were, just like I did this morning. Amen. Now, I appreciate those that have trailblazed, amen, that have set an example that we can follow, and those that have just resolved in their heart that they desire to finish well. And I thank God for those that are 60 plus, amen. Brother Dave, you've taken all of my adjectives away, amen. So I thank God for those that are the aged saints, amen. Aged doesn't have to be negative. I think when people buy the really expensive cheese, right, that the more age it has, the better it's supposed to be. All right, so I think that's what God had in mind in the book of Titus when he was writing about the aged women and the aged men. Amen. So, Luke chapter number 1, let's get into the preaching before I dig a hole. Amen. Luke chapter number 1, let's read verse number 1 down through verse number 4, and I'm going to preach a message on the character of Luke, not the book of Luke, but the character of Luke. He's been one of my favorite Bible characters for some time now. And, you know, the Bible has really very little to say about this man, and so I don't have a lot of notes. But I've got a few things on my heart that I want to share that I pray will be a blessing to you as it has been to me through the years. So for text, let's read Luke chapter 1, verse number 1 down through verse number 4. And the Bible says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they deliver them unto us, which were from the beginning, were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Let's ask God to help us this evening. Father, thank you for the privilege, Lord, to be in your house and to be a part of your blessed family. Thank you, Lord, for a copy of your word. And Lord, I pray now that you would bless your word, bless the preaching of your word to our heart, remove every hindrance that may be in our mind and our heart. God, I pray that you would bind the devil and every evil force that would try to distract. And I pray that your word would have free course. I pray, God, that it would accomplish that which you please. Lord, would you empty us of self? And God, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? We acknowledge, Lord, that we are nothing without you. Lord, in our flesh, there's no good thing. Help us not to put any confidence in our abilities, but Lord, help us to trust you to meet the needs of our soul tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The character of Luke is mentioned only 3 times in Scripture by name. He's mentioned in the book of Colossians, chapter number 4, as Luke, the beloved physician. He's mentioned in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4, which we'll turn to in just a moment, there with Paul. And then he's mentioned in the book of Philemon, and he's called Lucas there in the book of Philemon. So relatively, in comparison to some of the other followers of Christ, there's very little to say about this man called Luke. Now we know from just a simple glance at the first chapter of Luke and the first chapter of Acts that Luke authored these two books. God used him to write these two books. And we know that because he's addressing an individual. If you will notice it in Luke chapter number 1, the last word in verse number 3 is a man's name by the name of Theophilus. And then if you turn over to Acts chapter number 1, as I had you mark that place, in Acts chapter 1, verse number 1, he mentions the former treatise, which is a reference to the book of Luke. That is the former treatise. And he said, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." And so, From that introduction, we know that this man Theophilus was the intended recipient of these two letters, of Luke and the book of Acts. And it's really incredible, Acts chapter 1, verse number 1, when he mentions the former treatise, the book of Luke, that was what Jesus began to do. In other words, Luke wrote the book of Acts to tell us what Jesus continued to do. Although Jesus was not visibly seen in bodily form upon earth, he was very active in the building of his church and the spread of the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so God used Luke to pen these two books, which comprise approximately one-third of the New Testament. And it's pretty remarkable. When you consider that God used this one man to give us about one-third of the content in the New Testament, it's a pretty remarkable task. Paul also wrote about another one-third of the New Testament, but the book of Luke is the longest gospel account when you take Matthew, Mark, and John also into consideration. The book of Luke surpasses that as far as the amount of content that you have. And then Acts has 28 chapters, and so God used this man in a tremendous way. And I like Luke because I believe that all of us can identify with him. Luke was not necessarily a God-called preacher. He was involved in missionary activity, as we'll see in just a moment. But Luke was a physician. He was a man that had a job that just seemed that there was a cause that was bigger than medicine. There was a cause bigger than the physical condition of men's bodies, and he got involved in the cause of the spiritual condition of men's souls. And that's something we can all get involved in. You don't have to be a God-called preacher. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be a church planter. All of us can take the abilities that God has given us and use them for an eternal purpose, just as Luke did. And so that encourages me. We find also that Luke, he joins Paul on Paul's second missionary journey. Now, as you're reading through the book of Acts, you get to Acts chapter number 16, and you find where Luke, he changes his pronouns. He refers to Paul and his team in the third person as they. They endeavored to do this. They went here. They did this. And then in verse number 10, he changes from they, third person, to we in the first person. And he says, immediately, we endeavor to go over into Macedonia. And so Luke joined Paul and his missionary team on that second missionary journey to go over into Macedonia. He got involved. There was something attractive about the work of the gospel that Luke just could not refuse. And can I say that it's still the same way today? I'm going to tell you, when God does a work in your heart and when God opens your eyes to the eternal souls of men and His global cause, you just can't help but to get involved. I remember when God began to work in my heart about really eternity and really began to get real to me about this thing of getting the gospel to every creature. It was something that I couldn't get away from. I had to get involved in the cause. And I believe the same thing happened here to Luke. There's something about Christianity. There's something about discipleship. There's something about picking up a cross that's attractive. Yes, there's suffering. Yes, there's sacrifice. Yes, there's difficulty. But the songwriter said, of the old rugged cross, he said, that old rugged cross, it has a wondrous attraction to me. Amen. And I believe the same could be said today. There's just something about Christianity. There's something about that cross. We know it's going to be painful. We know that God's going to ask us to sacrifice some things. But there's just something about it we can't get away from. And I'm going to tell you, it got a hold. It got his hooks into Luke. And he got involved. And from all accounts, we know that he stuck with it to the very end. History tells us that Luke was, he was hanged, and that's how he died. He was taken back to Greece, and he was hung there for his faith. And I'm glad for men that just stick through it and finish their course. And I believe Luke is a great example of that. Now, the remarkable characteristic about Luke is this, I believe. He made a decision. He chose to pick up a cross and follow Jesus. He chose suffering. He chose sacrifice. Now, sometimes in our life, it chooses us. Sometimes we don't make the decision. It just comes our way, and it's just part of life. When God called Saul of Tarsus, he said, he is a chosen vessel unto me to suffer. That was going to be part of Paul's calling. He was going to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. But Luke is a man that, you know what, he could have stayed a physician, and he could have been content to live a life of relative comfort and relative ease and been involved in church a little bit and been involved in missions a little bit. But he made a decision to sacrifice those things and suffer shipwreck and to go on missionary journeys with the Apostle Paul when he's being stoned and he's being persecuted, he willingly chose to do that. To me, that's remarkable. He knew what he was getting into, and he picked up that cross and he followed Jesus. And I believe God's looking down from heaven and he's asking us, who's going to be like Luke? Who's going to voluntarily, willingly choose a life of sacrifice? Who's going to look at that cross and embrace the reproach, embrace the sacrifice, because they can see beyond that, like Jesus did, to the joy set before them? There's just something about that cross that speaks of eternity. There's just something about that cross that gives me the hope that there's a joy involved. There's a satisfaction involved. There's a peace involved that this world will never be able to offer me. And so I believe that God would look down and he would ask us and look into our hearts and see, who's interested in that? Who's interested in voluntarily picking up a cross? And so here's what I'm going to look at tonight in the next few minutes. How to identify a man wearing a cross. I believe Luke was. So how do you identify a man with a cross on his back? You say, well, that's me. Well, let's see if we pass the test. Do we pass the test of carrying our cross? Three simple points. Number one, a man wearing a cross, he lives for others. He lives for others. You see someone that's bearing a cross, they got somebody else in mind. It's not about them. There's a cause that goes beyond their comfort. There's a cause that goes beyond their joy. And it's more than just about them. There's somebody else involved. They live for others. Two examples. First example we've already noticed is this man by the name of Theophilus. You know, it's amazing. When Luke was writing these letters, the Gospel of Luke and the account there in Acts, as he was writing these, he had one person in mind. It's quite a bit of content, and Luke did this because there was one person that he had in mind. He had a burden for this man, and he wanted him to be assured. Look, if you will, at verse number 4, that thou mightest know, Luke 1:4, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Theophilus, I want you to know that these things that you've heard, these things that I've told you about, I want you to be sure about them. I want you to know that they're certain. I want you to know that in Acts chapter 1 that Jesus showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. I want you to know, Theophilus, that this Jesus that the Romans put on the cross and that they persecuted, that he rose from the dead 3 days later and he's alive forevermore and he's still doing the work. He got a burden for this man. And as Luke is writing this, he doesn't know that he's going to be giving us what we hold in our hands today. He doesn't know that God's going to take those two letters of Luke and the account there in Acts. Luke has no idea that God's going to give those things to us centuries later in his Holy Scripture. He's just trying to reach one individual. Isn't it amazing what God can do when we get a burden for one person? I wonder what God might do with our life if we started getting a burden for individuals. If we decided, you know what, I'm going to pick up a cross, and my life's not going to be about my plans. It's not going to be about what I can accomplish. It's going to be about how can I impact somebody else's life? What can I do for somebody else? Luke was that kind of man. It's very obvious from this mention of this man, Theophilus. Turn with me, if you will. Keep your place, your bookmarkers there in Luke and Acts. And turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And we find another reference where Luke had an individual in mind. And this is probably the scripture that speaks to my heart the most about Luke. I believe this reveals his character more than any of the other scripture about this man. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, you know the account, you're very familiar. Paul, he's getting ready to make the crossing. He's getting ready to set sail. He knows that his race is run. He knows that he's at the end. He says, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. And notice he begins to mention some names here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Notice, if you will, let's pick up in verse number 9, and he's writing to young Timothy, and he says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. Paul here is at the end of his life, and he's looking around him, and everyone's forsaken him. Those that once joined him in the fight, those that once were co-laborers, he's saying, Timothy, come and see me. Everybody's turning their back. And then he says this in verse number 11, only Luke is with me. And you know what? Maybe we'd read that in a negative account. Maybe we'd say, well, you know what? I wish there were other people there, but you know what? Thank God for Luke. He stood by the man of God. He stood by the preacher. May God give our churches some Lukes. I remember God gave me the opportunity to speak some national pastors in the country of China when my wife and I took a missionary trip there, and they were really big on discipleship, and I think you ought to be. And they were really big on Paul and Timothy, and we talked quite a bit about the relationship that Paul had with Timothy, but my mind went to this scripture, and I prayed for those men, and I said, men, I'm praying that God would give you a Luke. Thank God for Timothy's. We need to pray that God would give us more young Timothy's, but we also need to pray that God would give us some Lukes. And can I tell you that this man, our pastor, he needs some Lukes. That when some would walk away and in a day when so many are getting offended and so many are quitting, may God give us some men that'll stand by the man of God and stand by the work of God to the very end. Here's Paul, man, he's suffering, he's in that dungeon, and he's got the joy of the Lord in his heart, and he looks over there and he says, thank God for Luke. Everybody else has turned their back on me. They've loved this present world. I'm going to tell you who I can count on. I can count on Luke. That's who I want to be. I want to be somebody that people can count on. I want to be somebody that they can say, you know what, old Brother Brandon, he's loyal. He'll stick with you. Can I encourage you, find somebody and be their Luke. Find one of our missionaries and say, you know what, I'm going to be their Luke. Our pastor needs some Lukes. And I'm going to tell you, it encouraged my heart. I had a missionary that messaged me just probably last week. He said, I want to thank you. You've been an encouragement to me. You know what? There's some times when I would email or message this missionary. Maybe I didn't hear a whole lot back. And I wondered, you know what? Am I really making any difference? You'd be surprised how much you can encourage somebody just by being there. Just by letting them know, hey, I'm reading what you're putting out. I'm praying for you. I'm interested in your ministry. Be a Luke. Be a Luke. Now, I'll be honest with you, I need help with this because I'm selfish. I like what I have going on. I think what I have going on is interesting. But may God help me to live for others. I thought about this. I thought about, our pastor mentions this phrase often. He mentions church work versus the work of the church. It's so easy to get caught up in church work. The things of the ministry that don't involve people. The administration, the building, things that upkeep, all these things are very important. Even a lot of things that I'm doing now is part of Fellowship Baptist Academy. Can I tell you, a lot of what I do doesn't involve people. And it'd be very easy for me to tell myself that I'm doing everything I need to do if I'm busy just doing church work. But I believe I'm falling way short of the mark God has for me if there's no time in my schedule for individuals. If there's nowhere that I can find in my week that I've spent praying for an individual, trying to minister to an individual. So I want to ask you this evening, who are we trying to win to Jesus? At the end of all of Paul's letter, you know what? He mentions often individuals. There's names mentioned at the end of all of his letter. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. You know what? It's easy to be involved in church work, but what God's looking for is for some spiritual fathers that'll invest in people like they're their own sons, like they're their own family. Because you know what? After all, if we're in part of God's family, we are family. And so let me ask myself and let me ask you, who have we spent time trying to witness to recently? Who's on our prayer list? Do you have a prayer list that has names on it? That's more than just what you need. And there's nothing wrong with praying for things that we need. Supplication, thanksgiving. There's a part of our prayer life that doesn't involve other people. But can I tell you that the Bible says that intercessions, giving of thanks, intercessions when I pray for somebody else, that ought to be made for all men. And the Bible said that in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 1. First of all, I exhort therefore that first of all, prayers, giving of thanks, intercession, be made for all men. He said, put that at the top of the list. Make sure that you have a prayer list now that's got some names on it. I would ask you this. Who that's saved are you trying to disciple? Could you bring up, does somebody come to your mind when you say, you know what, I'm trying to help that young man. I'm trying to help that young lady. Luke was that way. You could tell that he was wearing a cross because he was living for other people. So easy to be busy in the ministry and forget about individuals. Listen, I'm preaching to myself. I need help here. May God help me to pick up a cross and realize there's people that have eternal souls, and at the end of the day, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Listen, we can have a clean building, and we ought to. Our books can be straight. Our records can be straight, and they ought to be. We ought to get, listen, whatever our hand finds to do, we ought to do it with our might. We ought to do it to the best of our ability. But there ought to be somewhere in our lives, somewhere in our schedule, where we're ministering to an individual. We're praying for a lost loved one. We're sharing the gospel with somebody. And if we're going to be like Luke, we're going to live for others. Number two, how do I identify a man wearing a cross? Number one, he lives for others. Number two, he forgets about himself. He forgets about himself. Turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter number 4. Colossians, chapter number 4. Now here's another outstanding characteristic about this man, Luke. And we'll show this from Colossians 4, but Luke was the only non-Jewish man to author a book of the Bible. 40 authors of the Bible, 39 of them Jews, Hebrew people. One of them Gentile, Luke. It's pretty remarkable. Luke made the cut. Now, history tells us that Luke was of Greek descent, but here's another indication that Luke was not a Jew, because Paul mentions some names here in Colossians chapter 4, and let's pick up in verse number 9, and he mentions with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom ye receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, now notice this, who are of the circumcision. And so in other words, these men that were mentioned before, Onesimus and Aristarchus and Marcus and Jesus called Justice, these were of the circumcision. These were Jews. But then Paul had some other laborers too that he mentions after that, that we would assume were not of the circumcision. They were Gentiles. And he mentions those, verse number 12, Epaphras, who was one of you. He was of Colossae, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. Luke, there he is, mentioned after those of the circumcision. Luke, the beloved physician, the beloved physician. Not just not just Dr. Luke, but Paul said, I love that man. That man Luke, he's faithful. That man Luke, man, I'm going to tell you, he's been with me. You know what? My imagination goes with me some, but I can't help but think, but Paul there, as he's suffering in that dungeon, that Luke's not only ministering to him spiritually, but he's probably using some of those medicinal skills that he has and some of that knowledge to probably try to doctor and nurse Paul to health as best as he can. He's just been a tremendous blessing to Paul. And Luke is referred to here as the beloved physician. He was a man that he was not of the circumcision. He was believed to be Greek. And we're told, I don't know, I'm not a Greek scholar, but we're told that his writing followed many Greek customs. That's what some commentators say. They say that you can read Luke's writing and it's very obvious that his writing style was of a Greek lineage. He was the only Gentile to write a book of the Bible. Rather than live a life where he could have enjoyed some recognition, he chose to live away from what was familiar to him. And you know what? Very little is said about Luke. Three times in the Bible his name's mentioned. He chose a life of forgetfulness over familiarity. He chose to forget about himself. It's pretty remarkable. Because we all like ourselves. We all like to be noticed. We all like some recognition. But if you see a man wearing a cross, he's not thinking about himself. He's forgotten about himself. You know, we live in an age, I thought of this, where we don't want to be forgotten. How many times have you checked your social media today to see how much recognition you've got? How many times a week are you checking to see if you got another like or another comment or who likes me? Who's recognizing me? Hey, don't forget about me. I'm over here living my life. Hey, world, look at me. Don't forget about me. But God says, you know, I'm looking for some people who will pick up a cross and forget about themselves. Because it's not about you. It's not trying to be mean. It's just listen. Here's an illustration. Count Zinzendorf. You ever heard of this man? Count Zinzendorf. Father of the Moravian missionaries. I mean, a really interesting study. I mean, these people had a passion for souls. Here's one thing that he said. And this sounds really cruel. But let me explain. Here's one thing that he said. He said, preach the gospel, die, and be forgotten. You say, wow. That really doesn't sound like a missionary charge that's going to, you know, we're going to be signing them up, you know, to go to the field. Preach the gospel, die, and be forgotten. He was trying to get people to understand, you're going to be forgotten about anyways one day. Why are you trying to live to get all this recognition? He said, because, think about it. How many of you were able to spend a good bit of time with your great-grandparents? Raise your hand. We got a few. How about your great-great-grandparents? You got to spend a lot of time with them. How many of you know who they were, your great-great-grandparents? You see, a few. What about one more after that? Your great, great, great. You say, yeah, they were good people. I know a lot about them. Great, great, great grandparents. You've got Ancestry.com or something, brother. Amen. But for the most part, you know what? You're going to be forgotten one day. There's going to come a day when it's not going to be about us. And so what Count Zinzendorf was trying to get those missionaries to understand was, don't live for yourself now. That's such a shallow thing to live for. Man, go preach the gospel. Live for eternity. Live for the never-dying souls of humanity. Go preach the gospel, and one day you'll draw your last breath and be forgotten about. Can I tell you, God don't forget his people. He didn't forget about Luke, did he? Now, Luke said, you know what? I'm going to pick up a cross. I'm going to leave my family who are Greeks. I'm going to leave the Gentiles, and I'm going to join this Jewish community who's hated and despised. I'm going to pick up a cross. God didn't forget about him. Everybody else may have, but he chose to pick up his cross. And guess what? Man, we're reading about a man that stuck with the Apostle Paul right down to the very end. He's still being a blessing to my heart. Amen. Amen. So many times we think, if I pick up that cross and I live for other people, well, then I'll just be forgotten. I really won't have much impact. You'd be surprised. We're still reading missionary biographies today. We're still being encouraged by them. We're still being inspired by them. Many of them, missionaries of yesteryear, when they went to go preach the gospel to foreign lands, they sold themselves into slavery just so they'd have the opportunity to preach to slaves. They weren't trying to look for recognition. They said, you know, I'm going to pick up a cross. Nobody may remember me this side of heaven, but I'm going to do something eternal. And God's looking down and he's wondering, who do I have like that today? Who's going to live for others? Who's going to be willing to forget about themselves? When you see a man wearing a cross, he's living for others. And number two, he has forgotten about himself. Number three, you see a man wearing a cross. Go back with me to the book of Luke chapter 1. You see a man wearing a cross, he can tell you about Jesus. That man can tell you a thing or two about Jesus. Luke chapter number 1, there's a phrase here that's interesting to me. Now, Luke was a man, I believe, that picked up a cross. And in the book of Acts, he said, now Theophilus, the former treatise, the book of Luke, that was of all that Jesus began to do. In other words, Theophilus, let me tell you about Jesus. Luke could tell you about Jesus. Look what he says here in verse number 3. Luke chapter 1, verse number 3. He said, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. Isn't that interesting? Luke said, I have a perfect understanding of these accounts. In other words, Luke said, I believe that I'm qualified to tell you about Jesus. You see a man that's picked up a cross, listen, he's going to be able to tell you about Jesus better than anybody else because he's living the life. He's carrying the cross. Paul said that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul says, I can tell you about Jesus because I'm carrying the cross. I wonder tonight, could you tell someone about an experience that you've had with Jesus? Are you equipped to tell somebody maybe about your salvation testimony? Have you had that experience with Jesus that you could pin down or maybe share vocally with someone? You could tell them about how the Holy Ghost convicted you and showed you that you were a sinner and hung your soul out over hell and then gave you the picture of the sweet grace of God, that the Son of God, Jesus, loved you and shed his life's blood for you so that you didn't have to die and spend eternity in the devil's hell. Could you tell somebody about that salvation experience with Jesus? Could you tell somebody about that time when you prayed and you didn't tell anybody about what you were praying about, but God answered a prayer for you and you knew it was God because only you knew about it? Is there anything like that that you could share with someone about an experience with Jesus? Can I tell you? You carry a cross long enough, you'll have some experiences that you can share with people. You can tell them about Jesus better than anybody else. Maybe what about that time that God got really real to you? You were at a time in your life, you were at your lowest point. You didn't know what was going to happen. You didn't know how God was going to come through. All you knew was, I'm desperate. God, I need you. And God showed up in a very real way. Spoke peace into your soul. Do you have any experiences like that that you could share with people? Maybe that financial need that you prayed about. You didn't know how God was going to come through. But miraculously, some way, God answered the prayer and he met the need. How many stories tonight can we tell? Do you have a back to Bethel story that you can tell? About, you know what, there's a time and I got away from God. Got away from the things of God. But God got a hold of my heart. God brought me back and I've got a story that I could tell of the grace of God. Maybe about that time that God brought physical healing. I'm thankful that those that pick up a cross, live for Jesus, count not their lives dear to themselves, willing to live for others, willing to forget themselves. I'm glad God gives us stories we can tell. Amen. I wonder tonight, do you have a story you can tell? I'll close with this. The book of Mark, these verses, man, I'm going to tell you, they penetrate my soul every time I read them. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 and 35. You can turn there if you'd like, and this will be where we finish. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 and 35. Mark 8, 34, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Take up his cross. Jesus took up his. We have ours. Verse 35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the gospels, the same shall save it. I just got to be honest with you. That verse shakes me to my core every time I read it. Because I live in a body of sinful flesh that is in love with itself. And I care for me, and you care for you, because you have the same flesh that I do. And Jesus is looking at us, and he's saying, you know what, if you'd be willing to crucify that flesh and sacrifice your plans and lose your life, I'll give you a life you never dreamed you could have. Yeah, there might be sacrifice. There undoubtedly will be. There'll be persecution, there'll be rebuke, but Jesus said this, whosoever shall lose his life will save it. So many of it, we spend all of our time trying to save our life, live for ourselves, build up our nest. You know what Jesus said? You're going to lose it. You're going to spend your whole life trying to salvage something, and at the end, you're going to lose it. The only way to save it is to lose it. How do I know if I'm wearing a cross? Are you living for others? Have you forgotten about yourself? Can you tell me about Jesus? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, Lord, I want to thank you for how you've used this man Luke to be an encouragement and a challenge to me in my walk. God, I pray that you would help me. Lord, I need help in this area. Lord, I pray that you would help convince me further that Christianity, discipleship, taking up my cross, living for others, Lord, it's the best life. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to believe that enough to follow through with it. And I pray that you'd find a multitude of people here tonight that would be willing to pick up our cross, to follow you, that we may truly save and find a life that's worth living. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Brandon. Let's all stand to our feet. Something worth living for comes to my mind. Let's bow our heads together. I'm glad Jesus can do that. He can give us something worth living for.